the condition of the family today and all the things that children go through have put this pattern of anxiety into their system. And because of that, many don't even value themselves. Anxious thoughts come from the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. Anxious thoughts come from painful, unresolved past. Anxious thoughts come from the present pressures of life. Anxious thoughts come from broken relationships. And anxious thoughts come from what's going to happen in the future. They're all encased with fear, trepidation. The good news is, there's hope for anxious thoughts. Amen. The good news is there's healing from anxious thoughts. And the good news is there's a strategy to put in motion from anxious thoughts. Now turn to somebody and say, I don't have any anxious thoughts. I need to tell you a lie. But anyway, we need to close the gates of anxious thoughts. And I want you to, if you get anything today, I want you to understand that there's a gate that anxious thoughts live behind. And if I'm not careful, I will leave that gate open. I want to talk to you this morning how to close the gates of anxious thoughts. You and I, while we're on this earth, will deal with those thoughts. The question is not whether anxious thoughts will come. The question is, have I closed the gate to them? Look at Nahum chapter 3, verse 13. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us today. Understand the correlation between the gates and the thoughts. Help us not to open our gates to our enemies. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
The gates of, look at, your land can be open to the enemy. You know what's amazing is most people don't believe the devil can plant thoughts. We don't know how, but he does. He even planted thoughts in the mind of Peter while he was in front of Jesus. Are we more spiritual than Peter? He's right there next to Jesus. And Peter said, you're not going, you're not going to die. Well, it's amazing because Jesus didn't rebuke, he didn't say, Peter. He said, Satan, why has Satan done this? Why have you left the gate open? Why have you left the gate open, Peter, for your enemy to come in? How many know we have one enemy? Do we understand the moment we're living in? The reason we're seeing death and destruction in these nations is because the devil knoweth he has a short time. And he's come, he's full of wrath. Wrath will equal violence, and violence a disregard for human life. You see, we want to make this the problem like in Ukraine and other. You know, they want to kind of give all these answers. The answer is Jesus is coming. The devil knows it, and he wants to kill as many as he can. That's the answer. The gates of your land are wide open. Do you know before Christ, it's impossible to close those gates? Do you know the Bible says that he's the prince of the power of the air and that we served him at one time and we obeyed him at one time? Why? Because we couldn't close that gate without Jesus. Because Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the power to close the gate. Think of all the hell you went through before you came to Jesus. Think of all the things that came and even tried to, you want to take your life and you want to do this. Why could, you know what? You couldn't close that gate without Christ. And many of us found Jesus, help Lord, help Lord. And he came and he closed the gate and saved your life. Yeah. But as believers, we got to be diligent, like Pastor Deb said. We got to be diligent here because, see, until we get to glory, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In fact, the demons come after the house has been swept. They try to come back with seven demons worse. We got to be vigilant. Our adversary walketh around finding somebody's gate that's open. You know how he loves to find Christians' gates open. And he says, lies to him, no one likes you, no one loves you. You know, I'm hurt, this and that. You know what? He just loves to come in like a slithering snake. Got to close the gates. I said, we got to close the gates.
Amen.
There are folks that shook in the house of God today. They left their gate open. They got offended. They got into God, they got into murmuring, the gate opened, and the devil took them right out. They're not doing their destiny, they're not doing their calling, they're not doing the fulfillment. Why? Because the gate was left open. I want to tell you something, honey, we got to close that gate.
Amen.
Because the devil don't play fair, he don't care how you look, he don't care if you got a new dress, new suit, he don't care about your car, he don't care about your career. His main goal towards Christians is to get you to mess up.
Amen.
And leave Jesus.
Amen.
Close the gate. I'm going to have a gate in your house. Everybody have a gate? Now they have these things called gated communities. See, that's what the church should be. The local church, a gated community. They're all in this together. We all close the gate together. We all help our brothers and sisters together close the gates. And I want you to remember something, sir. And I want you to remember something, ma'am. You and I cannot win over anxious thoughts alone. You cannot do it alone. You need Jesus, the Bible, and you need the fellowship of God's people. Because sometimes you get weary closing that gate. Sometimes you get discouraged dealing with it again. You don't want to close the gate. And a brother or sister come and help you encourage you to close that gate.
Amen. Amen.
You can't do it. We can't do anything alone.
Okay.
Because we're all the body, right?
Amen. Amen.
The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. These people have this independent spirit. Listen. Quit just sitting on the premises and start standing on the promises. We're members one of another. We encourage. Weep with those that weep. You know, close the gate to this junk that has hurt your brother and sister. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Good word. God's word. Your encouraging word. Anxiety weighs us down. I can't tell you how many times I've been weighed down with anxiety. My precious wife would say something. Someone would say something to me. How about you? You see, you and I can't fight this battle alone.
Amen.
Well, the battle's the Lord's. Yeah, I know what you're saying with that, but God also uses other soldiers to encourage you. Because there's some anxiety will cause you to start eating six pieces of pizza instead of two. There's some anxiety will start you getting a sleep medicine. I'm not saying you shouldn't take all that stuff. Just be careful with it. And there's some anxiety. People just leave their mate and go find someone else and commit adultery. Because you see, they think that's going to solve their anxiety. But there's only one that can close the gate. And that's Jesus. But he has to have us involved. Close the gate. And you're going to meet other believers that they got their gate open. And how you know it's because they're talking trash. They talk about other believers. They're talking about the preachers on television. Well, I guarantee you, I found out people that talk about preachers on television, first of all, they don't give anyway. And they're in some type of a spiritual pseudo type of thing that they think they know more. But that person's reaching millions of people and I'm reaching none. So anyway, we'll just move on. But see, I don't hang around Christians that won't close their gates.
Amen.
I don't hang around Christians that are negative and murmuring, complaining, and nothing ain't and perfectionist. I'm hanging around you. I love you. I ain't gonna hang around you. Because see, I work too hard to keep my being close. I'm going to find somebody that's more positive than me. And then guess what? We ain't as positive as we think we are. So I need somebody more positive than me to hang around. Don't mean I don't love everybody. I just need somebody more joyful than me. I want to hang around somebody that's got that gate locked so tight that I learned from them. My gosh. How can you walk in that? Because I keep my gate closed, honey. I don't let nothing open that gate.
Amen.
Anxiety man's heart weighs him down with a good word. You know what? Sometimes we just need to shut up until we have a good word.
Amen.
Just keep that mouth shut. If it's not a good word, don't say it. It's an idle word, which I'll have to give an account of. The best book you can ever buy is one to speak and one to shut up. You can get it on Amazon. Joyce Meyer says, me and my big mouth. And she admits it. We all have a big mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't shouting now. You ain't shouting nothing. Little spark causes a forest fire. I was in the volunteer fire department in Bath, New York, fought a forest fire. I know what a little spark can do. If you want to stop the anxiety, first of all, make a decision that I'm going to give a good word, I'm not going to give no word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move on. I lost that. I have found anxious thoughts fall into three basic categories. There's more, but there's three basic. Number one, weariness. You get weary, it's harder to fight the battle. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Happened to Elijah. You get weary. He says, I'm the only one left. What do you mean? You're the only one left, Elijah. Jezebel's going to kill me. What do you mean? See, he was weary and he was dealing with anxiety. Second thing is fear. Anxious thoughts are from fear. Fear of the future, fear of your health, fear of this, lack. And the third one is self-condemnation. I never thought about this morning as I was praying about anxious thoughts come from self-condemnation. Self-condemnation actually is a misunderstanding of God and who He is. It's not understanding that Jesus came with love and mercy and truth. Moses had the law. It's still really a religious type of sentiment in our emotions that's based on my performance. And sometimes we have people around us that we can feel their judgment if we don't line up with what they think. That's religion. That'll kill you.
Yeah.
Self-condemnation is also from things in the past, guilt, things we knew we shouldn't have done. We've never been to the cross and let God heal us. It's anxious thoughts. And it brings emotional distress. Let's talk about weariness first. Jeremiah 12:5. I love this verse. I've preached on it many times here. If you run with a footman and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? What he's saying is, man, if just living your life and dealing with footmen and you're wearied about your thoughts. How are you going to deal with horses, which speaks in a negative connotation of demonic power? How are you going to deal with the devil if you can't handle some thoughts from some foot? Oh my gosh. How are we going to handle the devil and the strength of principalities and powers to lie and deceive? If I can't even handle a little bit, if someone doesn't compliment me, or I find out someone talked about, how am I going to handle when the devil in the middle of the night knocks on your door with terror? You see, we get weary with people. People who need people. Yeah, I understand the blessings for it. that alone with God to get refreshed. I mean, sometimes even husbands and wives, sometimes we kind of, we're there all the time. Sometimes we just need a space. So once in a while, I'll ask Debbie, I say, honey, can I have 3 minutes just by myself? And she grants it, and I come back and we'll join me again. So, I'd like actually 5. I think she's going to bump it up to 5. You know, we can weary one another. Let's be honest. Listen, okay. But what do you do, Pastor, about that? What I do is I realize this isn't about me, and if I'll get my mind off myself and help that person be like Christ or show the love of God, then I don't care if I get weary, because he that refreshes others. And part of our problem, we don't get refreshed, is we never refresh anyone else. He that refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. I've learned this. The best times I have refreshed people is when I've been the weakest, exhausted, worn out, in pain, problems on the, but to press forward, when I've done that, the refreshing comes back twice as fast and twice as big.
Amen.
Let me give you the top reasons why thoughts get weary. How many want these? How many want these? It's not enough.
Amen.
I know you don't have the remote, you can't change the channel. Amen. I keep that remote right by me. Some of those commercials, who writes these? Someone in the third grade? I mean, they're on a level. Some of these commercials are written on a level, like someone in the fourth grade. I'm like, who writes these? Anyway, that's just my pet peeve. So don't click me off, okay? See, some of you got your mask, and what I like with not having the mask, I can't tell if you're asleep, you know? You have your mask on, people are sleeping, you know? Help me, Lord. Top reasons thoughts get weary. Number one, details. Too many, too complicated, too fast. My wife knows this about me. She loves details, I know. But I've learned that I better like them. You can be the best visionary around. You can be a visionary, but you better have the details worked out. It's like, here we are. Here's Devin Bill. We're going out west. It's back in the 1800s. I've got 10 wagons lined up with people. All right, we're going out west. We're going over the mountains. We're going through the rivers. We're going to get there. And everybody goes, yay! Everybody clap. Hey, we're going! Some of you don't want to go. Great, there's gold out there. Anyway, yay! Just before I'm ready to get the horses, she comes out, Bill, did you get the 66 bags of flour and the 75 barrels of water and oil? I don't know. That's a detail. That'll work out, won't it? Yeah, well, till you hit that Arizona desert. But how many know too many details at once?
Amen.
Second thing is detours. Everybody say detour.
Detour.
What is a detour? I didn't plan for this. So last week I'm coming off 95. I'm getting off of my exit here that takes me around. Detour. I was like, what? I've been doing this in years. I mean, my first thought is, how can they do a detour? It's my route. I own it. I'm just kidding. So I had to go around. Not a big thing, you know, but how many like detours? I don't like them because I don't know if they're going to take me where I should go and I might end up somewhere else. But anyway, I didn't plan for. How many had something hit your house you didn't plan for?
Yeah.
How about duty? Day in? Day out. Day in? Day out. Sunrise, sunset. This is from Fiddle on the Roof. I won't sing it. Another reason to get weary is downers. Hard, not easy things. You can feel the pull. Oh, gosh. And some things you can't just get rid of. Fifth thing is drainers. People that take but never give back. This side's a lot of what we hear. You know, you raise your children, a lot of times they ain't giving back until they're married, got three kids of their own, they realize, Mom and Dad, you know, we just took everything.
Amen.
I mean, you just expected, you know, something, a thank you, whatever. But we were probably that way growing up too. People that take, they never give back, that make you weary. How long needs to be an exchange? It's talking about fear. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Don't be anxious about your life. Wow. How many of you totally, I mean, you're just, you know, you never have fear about your life. Anybody? How about this? About what you're going to eat? Sometimes I go to a fast food restaurant, I have a little anxiety, what I'm going to get. What you will drink. This is interesting. He's right down on a practical level. Then he says, nor about your body. Oh, Lord. Hang on. Hold on. I've spent too much time worried about my body. I've had too many anxiety things about my body, my back. It'll be a little, do I need to retire? Quiet. Am I going? No. Little pain like this, man, I'm gone. Better meds. Forget the doctor, it takes 2 months to get there. And there's times, yeah, I need to go. There's other times I didn't know if I really needed to go. Or I was going because of anxiety. Maybe you go to the doctor to see it, but I just have way too much time. I know you wouldn't agree with that, but. Oh my gosh. We're all getting old. Yahweh man perishing. Build the inside. Oh, you got to take care of yourself. How many know when you get older, you don't eat and do stupid things like you used to?
Amen.
How many know you can't go through the fast food and get three burgers, fries, and shake anymore because the next day you're going to wear it, baby?
Amen.
How many know you can't eat at 10:30 at night, big sandwich, and big drink and everything, and think you're going to sleep right? You could when you were 12, 14, 16, but now how do you do that? Your body's going to slap you and say, you better get down there and get rid of that. I'm in the rest mode, man. What are you doing? How many know when you get older and stuff, things bother you that didn't used to bother you when you were young? And you see stuff on television, it kind of bothers you, but now it bothers you that people are mistreated and hurt and murdered and babies killed.
Yes. Yes.
And people suffering, it bothers you. And a lot of times younger people, yeah, it's not good, but it grips you. It bothers you that people are suffering like that.
Yes.
Your life's more than food.
Yes.
What does that mean? Your life is hidden in God, in Christ in God. It means that our life here is temporary. We're going to an eternity with Christ. That it's not just about practical things. Fear. I love this. Because this is a cure. How many want a cure?
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to hear the diagnosis unless you have the prognosis. I don't want your doctor to tell me what's happening unless you can give me a prognosis, unless you can tell me how I can get this thing fixed. Do I need to go to therapy? Do I need to do this? And I found out this about Jesus. He never leaves us hanging.
Amen.
Whatever anxiety, there's a cure.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the cure right here. How many want this?
Amen.
That's not enough. How many want this?
Amen.
Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the one who listens to and decide when to open it and when to close it, and then go to his gate. That gets our mind off ourselves. We can put little flowers in our gate. We can do all this. But Jesus has another gate right over here. Oh, Lord, I'll go to that gate on Sunday morning. But life's still about me and my gate and my problem and my bursitis and arthritis and lictitis. And no one likes me, and I blah, 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 I'm at my gate worshiping. All of a sudden, one day you see a statue of yourself at your gate and you're worshiping it. That's what the devil wanted out of Adam and Eve, to be like God, to worship themselves like God. That's what the whole thing was about, to switch the worship from God to them. And that's been the curse of mankind ever since. I will exalt myself above the heavens. I will be like the Most High. That's not only the devil, that's who man is. Yeah. The problem is, when men get to that place and they get the Oscar and they get the thing, they get the $1 million home and they get everything they want to, they begin to die because they worship something, things more than God. Yeah. You got to go daily at his gates. Yeah. The days of Sunday morning Christianity over. You're not going to make it if you just don't wait for Sunday. I wish I had a few more shouts. You got to be there daily. Oh, well, Pastor, I have to get up early. Have your gate. Do it in the car then. Do it in the car. Turn off Jimbo and Jabbo and the Jazz Channel and the jazz music and put on Jesus. Huh? Well, Pastor, do you listen to any other things in Christian music? Yeah, I listen to. I like jazz. I listen to instrumental jazz. I don't listen to the latest 10 songs because they're all full of vulgarity. Amen. Really? Where's the music gone since the 70s? Downhill, baby. Yeah. How about the Temptations? My Girl. Singing about something good, My Girl.
Amen.
Yeah, today when they sing, it's all vulgar. I remember the time in orthodontist, my son was about 10, and I would go in there, it's full of all young people in there, and you know they're playing music pretty loud, and they put this one song on it, and within 1 minute it was talking about, I can't even say it. I knew my son to be embarrassed, so I tried to be as discreet. I went up to him and said, y'all know this is full of young children, and I've heard someone describe a woman's three times in the vulgarity that is used on the street. Y'all gonna do something about it? He turned it off, and when we left, they turned it. I heard him turn it off. You see, if I'm full of anxiety, I'm not gonna be bold. We're not gonna be bold like Jesus wants us to be. We're not gonna confront hell like Jesus wants us to be if I'm full of anxiety, because it's all about me and I don't have any power. Let's talk about self-condemnation. What do you feel guilty about? Well, I've never met anyone that doesn't deal with some type of guilt. Wish you raised your children right? Different. Wish you hadn't done this. And I've learned this. Because it's a journey. Because you come to the altar once doesn't necessarily mean that you've worked through it. I believe in deliverance. We're going to have healing and deliverance next Sunday. But I believe there's an initial power of God to release you. But then there's got to be the growth into something new. So when you're delivered from something, okay, it leaves a vacuum. It leaves a, okay, that needs to be filled. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so we can be half healed as Christians for decades. Half set free. As much as I love singing about freedom and victory and all that, I understand it, but it's not only a position, it's a possession. He said to Joshua, I'm only going to give you as much promised land as you walk. I'm not giving you the whole thing, because there's barren places with beasts and things. I'm only what you walk out, you have. And just because I talk it, don't mean I'm walking it. I look at my own self. How much am I walking out that I talk out? No. Self-condemnation. Romans 8:1. I've gone to the scripture so many times. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, our minds want to say, oh, I just got to pay that price for that. Well, Jesus paid the price for it. I just got to beat myself up for it. Well, you've already done it for 20 years. Why don't you stop that? Because, see, beating yourself up, you're not going to be in a position to fight anxiety or the position to share Christ. Because my whole life becomes around me, and I'm sitting at my gate. I'm just waiting to go to heaven. Jesus said, well, you shut the gate, now come over to my gate. You see, my gate is not shut to you, it's open to you. And the gates that fear the Lord, they can walk through that gate. And we shut our gate, but we run to His gate that's open. And in that gate is everything you and I need. In that gate is Jesus Himself. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In that gate is the well of living water. In that gate is the cloud of many witnesses. In that gate is the prophet like unto Moses. In that gate is the second Adam. It's our brother, our King, our Lord. Daily. Yes. You remove that condemnation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times have we run to that gate? Jesus, you've got to do something. And I think sometimes the Lord said, well, you go close your gate first. You got your gate open. You're coming over for me to get stuff, but you haven't closed your gate. You close your gate first. Everybody say, close your gate first. 1 Peter 5:7, we're going to close this. Did you get that song? Did I? You have 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Let me tell you about the scripture. Number one, it's an act of humility. Oh, I can handle it. No, you can. I can handle this. No, you can't. You can't handle it. How many would like somebody to come put a 2 10-pound weights on your shoulder right now? Could your body handle it?
That's the song.
So it'd be good. How about 25? Why are we thinking we can handle this? Okay. Can't. Ever say can? Jesus can. How many people have insomnia because they're not testing their care? How many have gone through that? Cheapest of sins. Cheapest of sins. The times I didn't cast that care. Cheapest of sins. That's it. You all right? We were. Because there's something about when we cast it. Not only have we have the humility, we have to add something else. It's called trust. And trust is only built on the character and nature of God that's revealed through the Scriptures. And what I've learned is my emotions and feelings don't always line up immediately when I cast that care. And I want that gate locked. You know what the devil's messing with? Your identity. You're seated in heavenly places. You're going to be a king and a priest. You're going to reign with Christ. You're going to judge angels. You're going to have authority over cities. Anxiety suppresses that and gives us kind of a gloomy type of earthly type of perspective of our existence here, apart from the identity that God has given us. You need to really know who you are. You really believe. You ordained the before the foundations of the world a purpose for it. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He, what? He what?
Yes.
Ain't nobody going to care like Jesus.
Amen.
Husband, wife, kids, love them all. Ain't nobody going to care like Jesus. Let me tell you something you probably don't think about and thought about. Jesus took our anxiety in the garden. He experienced anxiety ad infinitum when he sweat drops. He was not exempt from anxiety before than he was, but he had some little things with disciples and Sadducees. That wasn't anxiety. It was so oppressive on Jesus. Not only did he sweat drops of blood, but he had to pray three times. So all the anxiety that comes to us, he already took it. I said he already took it. But I can't stay at my gate and feel sorry for myself. And I can't stay at my gate and try to figure out why this is happening. I need to close the gate.
Amen.
Go over to His gate. And it's wide open. It's wide open. And He's standing there with His hands up. Come unto me. Come through my gate, all ye that are weary. Because see, your yoke is killing me.
Jesus.
Come.
Yes.
Come. And find help. Probably personally. During my Christian walk, I needed help with anxiety. Through that gate. And you know, the thing about Jesus, He never refuses. He never says, man, get it together. He never reminds me of my faults or how I missed it. I already know it. He already knows it. But He welcomes me when I walk through that gate. About you today. Let's just pray, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this word now. When we find that help that we need, a time of trouble, very present help, it's a gate. Lock our gates, go through His gates. Anxiety has to leave. It cannot stay in your own good presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. Please stand up.